It is time now for Conversations with the Mayors, presented by the Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber of Commerce, a membership organization that serves and advances the business interests of our community and builds a sustainable community where business thrives. Get more info online at carolinachamber.org. They're holding their annual meeting tomorrow morning at the Carolina Club. And ordinarily, Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle joins us on Friday afternoons. This week, she joins us on Thursdays. Mayor, how are you?
Good. It's nice to be over here this afternoon.
Absolutely. So, first of all, the big news locally is the departure of Chancellor Carol Fold. Thoughts on her departure and what it means? And we would talk about the impact on Chapel Hill, but Chapel Hill Carborough as well.
Yes, I was fortunate to be able to attend an event honoring her yesterday and was just reminded of the many accomplishments she's had as Chancellor of the University. Certainly, I think I spoke a few weeks ago, right after she ordered, announced her resignation and ordered the taking down of the remains of the Confederate Memorial, which I think she'll, that'll be some of the acts she's known for, mm-hmm. right? But yesterday, it was really almost bittersweet to understand how much she has done as Chancellor at Carolina, from the very, very successful Carolina Covenant program, that's really awesome, to her Arts Everywhere initiative, which is, I understand, kind of unique among, public universities of and just, a host of other things. She's a science educator. A lot of the folks from the sciences honored her. Her kind of bubbly personality. She evidently works around the clock.
Yeah.
Her enthusiasm for students, was echoed over and over and over again. I know every interaction I've had with her has been very warm, very enlightening, always very personable. And I think I said this to you too. The day I announced I was running for mayor was the day she was announced as chancellor. And so I've kind of, my tenure as mayor has been, hand in hand with the chancellor being Carol Fold. So I think it's a real loss for the community, and I hope that whoever fills her shoes, can do so.
Do you want the job on an interim basis? It's still open. That office is going to be open tomorrow.
Yeah, let me make this really clear. No.
All right. So obviously that's the big news that everyone's talking about this week locally. But a big meeting of several boards a couple of days ago, the Assembly of Governments came together, Carborough, Chapel Hill, Hillsborough, and Orange County, talking about several different issues: affordable housing, climate change, the Green Tract, of course, and transportation, several other important issues as well.
Yeah. It was our, annual meeting. Sometimes we meet twice a year. Last year, we actually, I think, maybe even went without meeting because we had so much kind of turnover and change and schedules. Believe it or not, it's something that has to be on the books like almost a half a year in advance so that everyone can be there. And even as it is, not all of the board members can make it. I think we had a strong three from our board that were there, but some of the other folks were sick and so on. It's an opportunity. I guess as I've observed these AOG meetings over the years, it's never a decision-making meeting,
right?
It's often an opportunity to kind of back up and become aware of what everyone else is doing. And Aaron, I know that seems really strange because you, for example, you know what everyone's doing because you talk with everyone all the time and you kind of dig into all of it.
I don't even know what I'm doing.
Okay,
half the time.
That's the thing. Okay, but yeah. That's the trade-off.
Yeah.
But people sometimes will ask me about something being voted on in Chapel Hill or voted on in mm-hmm. Hillsborough, and I say honestly,
you haven't heard about
yeah,
it.
Right? Yeah. I spend so much time and energy in ours. It's harder to kind of keep up with the other jurisdictions. So, for example, we had an affordable housing update. That was the first item. I wasn't able to be there for that one because I was coming from a meeting at school. But I looked at the information in the packet, and after talking to people who were there during that conversation, it was a really good opportunity to kind of hear what the other partners were doing, talk about opportunities for collaboration, talking about how we might want to develop some priorities so we can, message as a county on affordable housing. I understand that Damon from our board, Damon Siles and Jen Weaver, brought up this idea also of partnering with other jurisdictions around the state to try to advocate to the legislature about some extra, tools to put in the toolbox. Okay, so it's a nice setting for everyone there to kind of talk about common, I guess, issues. And so perpetually, affordable housing's on the issue. Perpetually, transportation's on the agenda. Perpetually, the green tract
is on it.
And then also in recent years, discussions of the Article 46 monies, which are the sales tax monies that the county residents voted on several years ago to increase economic development opportunities throughout the county. So, but every AOG meeting I've been to over the years has had, you know, some combination, if not all, of those topics.
And I was actually kind of surprised that economic development was not one of the big bullet points for the meeting this year. That's a change from previous years, and I don't know if that means we've had a lot of achievements in the last couple of years, and we've gotten to the point where economic development is now maybe eighth on the priority list, and we can only tackle 7 points at the meeting, or what the prioritization
was. It could be time allotment. I do understand that, you know, of course, the Board of Commissioners had their retreat last week, mm-hmm. and they had a pretty lengthy discussion about economic development and particularly the Article 46 monies. I will say that, during the meeting, all three of us from Carrboro brought up the points that the commissioners have heard from us over the years many times, that that we'd like to see some of those Article 46 monies directed to Carrboro. Now, you know, just a couple of points about that. We certainly recognize that when we have a big project like the Morinaga, you know, company coming in, when we have, you know, launch creating businesses out of Chapel Hill, when we have, you know, an agreement to have Wegmans come, we certainly understand that those monies will filter down to Carrboro because that's the way sales tax works. You know, it's proportional. And my point was, I'm not trying to be territorial or say, you know, us, but we have local businesses that really could benefit from having some money directed into our downtown. Like, it's really, Carrboro is an economic development district in the town. And, you know, we're kind of uniquely situated. You know, I always bring this up, that we're 6.4 square miles, we're 21,000 population. We're different than the county. You know, the county can bring in these economic zones and the manufacturers and think through ways to do agriculture. Chapel Hill is a lot larger than us. They partner with the university. The university's in Chapel Hill, and it's a much larger geographic town. You know, our core of our economy or of our economic development is downtown Carrboro, and it's a great place that is kind of almost. It's very, we have a lot going on downtown, but we could even do more, you know, and that's really our tax base, and that's the way we can contribute to the rest of the county. And so any chance I get, any chance Sammy gets, any chance Damon gets, you know, we point that out and we bring that up.
And we were speaking with Penny Rich of the Orange County Board just a couple of days ago, and she brought up that same point because that was the day after the assembly meeting that you had made and that other Carrboro officials had made, that we've got these designated economic development districts, and Carrboro downtown is not a designated EDD, but it is an EDD, and that point struck her too.
Absolutely, it's good to hear that. But I know that's a bit of we got a little bit of that feedback the other night also. Mm-hmm. So we're really hopeful that we'll be able to, and I know our staffs have been working together toward trying to direct. Because when you look at the chart, you can kind of tell the money just hasn't been able to be directed toward Carrboro. And so I think that's going to be a point of emphasis for our boards this year.
Where does the conversation stand on climate change?
Well, so we got this report from this ad hoc climate change committee. Again, this is kind of an area where we silo. And was really kind of informational to hear. We got a nice little report from this ad hoc committee. It was really nice to just kind of get a little summary of what each jurisdiction was doing. You know, so we had, you know, Chapel Hill represented. We had Hillsborough represented. We had Sammy Slade representing us. Had Mark Bacopoulos from the Board of County Commissioners kind of spearheading this. But, you know, just kind of pulling it all together and seeing what every group is doing. And I think out of that ad hoc group, we're going to have a continuing group that continues to meet and kind of talks through ways that we can partner together and perhaps much like affordable housing, be able to message and work on priorities that are important to all of us.
speaking with Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle. And it's a really important point you made a couple of minutes ago about just the extent to which we don't know what other groups and other boards are doing, because we talk about people being siloed and doing their own thing and just having blinders on to the fact that there are six other people in the community that are simultaneously doing the same thing. But that's not for lack of trying necessarily. That's just the fact that there is, in fact, so much going on in the community that it takes kind of a nonstop effort to be up to speed on what all is happening so that we can have these collaborative moments when they come up.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, for example, Pam mentioned she and I belong to different mayor's groups that concentrate on climate change, best practices, like kind of monthly call-ins, et cetera, et cetera. So we learn a lot from what other mayors and communities are doing across the nation. Now, you know, different towns, different states have different mechanisms available. But to the extent we can bring those ideas to not just our local jurisdictions, but so that our local jurisdictions can be a model for our state. Okay, so for instance, I am aware of a town near the coast that's developing looking at climate change. You know, and I became aware that they were looking at ways that they could, you know, kind of dig down and address climate change. I sent them our material. I said, look, here's our material. Here's a link to what we're doing. Because there's no reason to reinvent the wheel. There's no, you know, we don't have to take credit for everything, right? Everyone gets good ideas from everyone else. And particularly with a subject matter like that, you know, we need all hands on deck.
Yep. So we're talking about the meeting that took place a couple of days ago, the Assembly of Governments. Carborough Aldermen have two meetings coming up next week, Board of Aldermen meeting on Tuesday, and then the legislative dinner on Wednesday night, right?
Yeah. So we have our meeting on Tuesday, 7 o'clock again, folks. You know, I still can't get used to it myself.
Are people walking in at 7:30 still? Or?
Well, let's put it this way. Lydia is walking in at 7:01. No, really. It's just after 12 years of kind of understanding how late I can work and how I can grab food and how I can get over there and sign things. And it's very different routine. And for a few of these Tuesdays, I've actually had a youth advisory board meeting right before it, like I will this Tuesday. So I'll be there for that already. But I do think, though, it is kind of weird, because you do sometimes see someone kind of running in and you kind of think, oh, man, I bet they forgot or whatever.
Yep. So,
but in any event, we haven't had our agenda published yet for next week. So I haven't seen all the materials with it. But I do believe that at least tentatively we were going to have a discussion on e-scooters. And so, you know, that's an item that is of great interest to cities, not just across North Carolina, but across the United States.
We're talking like bird scooters and things like that.
Yeah, dropping in those little bird electronic scooters.
Yep.
You know, you wouldn't think that they'd be that big a deal, you know, but and you'd think, oh, yeah, it's like they dropped the bikes, you know. We're used to bikes,
right?
You know, communities aren't used to these little scooters that kind of dart in and out on sidewalks and roads. And what about helmets? And what about lights? And what about cars? And what about people? And how do you discard them? And different towns and different cities are doing different things. And so I think that we'll be starting to get some reports on what other communities are doing, kind of best practices, if they're allowed. And whatever we end up doing should obviously be considered in consult with Chapel Hill, because you don't want someone to ride a scooter to the line and then have to jump off, you know. But seriously, I think it is an item of a lot of interest to people. In fact, I had heard a rumor that perhaps even the General Assembly might address it. So we'll see what happens.
I think this is a step in the right direction, because people are coming up with alternative forms of transportation, and bird scooters are going to be much more energy and gas efficient than a normal vehicle. But now you've got these kind of blurred lines between what is a bicycle, what is a car, what rules of the road are these new vehicles supposed to follow?
Yeah, and it's like, you know, I think the major complaints that you could imagine are speeding on the sidewalks, being on the sidewalks when they shouldn't be, darting in and out of cars, causing safety problems. But yet, you're right, economical, convenient, good exercise, not bad for the environment. I mean, there are a lot of pluses, but you know, you can also see some of the minuses as well.
Do you have to exercise to ride this thing? Because count me out if that's the case.
I guess you have to walk there and get it and walk
okay,
back.
Okay, that's fair.
So
yeah,
actually, that's really a good point. You're right. I guess it's not as much. It's like a It's not as much as certainly a bicycle.
They'll figure
would
out
be.
A way to sell it that way.
Well,
no doubt.
You know, but that's a good point. But I was thinking ahead. I think to that crazy clip, Aaron. You've seen it, like from 1910, San uh-huh. Francisco, downtown San Francisco in 1910.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. You see like a trolley down the middle of the road.
Right.
And you see like people on bikes like darting in and out of
yes.
the trophy.
Yeah.
You see people walking in and out. I think you see someone, I'm not sure if you see someone riding a horse. Maybe there is a cart going by, but it looks like utter chaos. But
yeah.
There's like five modes of transportation going on in this
yep.
really kind of time stood still frame, you know. So maybe that's, you know, maybe we'll have something like that if we have things like scooters and who all knows what else.
Speaking with Carver, Romero, Lydia Lavelle, and we got to wrap up. We got the legislative dinner coming up on Wednesday as well, where you can speak with legislators about the agenda, or at least the desired agenda for the General Assembly this year. What's
yeah.
on the list?
Yeah, so we're meeting them at 6 o'clock on Wednesday. Typically, we have a breakfast, but this actually will be a little more convenient, I think, for many of us. And we usually have a laundry list of several topics that are of interest or importance to our board. Our legislative delegation knows us pretty well, mm-hmm. so they know most of those, and many of those items have stayed on that list year after year after year. So we're going to give that to them. But we also decided that we would kind of hone in on, you know, a couple of key, like two or three specific areas that were important to us. And I know one is... we want to make certain that the language around the body cam statute is revisited, that our legislators consider our input, which, you know, of course, is more transparency and making it available to the board and the manager sooner.
Yep.
A second is certainly it's a transportation issue, but it's basically the State Maintenance Assistance Program, SMAP. There was evidently a 26% budget cut from those monies as part of some of the transportation things that happened last
right,
year through the General
right.
Assembly. So we really need to have that 26% restored. And so that's an important point that we want to really discuss with our legislators so they understand the implications of that to us with our transit system, our fare free bus, et cetera. And then thirdly, we really would like a renewed effort at some kind of a solution to help with extreme flooding that we've been experiencing. And again, every mayor I talk to practically across the state is experiencing either severe flooding or stormwater issues.
Yep.
And that's not going to go away.
So again, that meeting is on Wednesday. Board of Aldermen meeting is on Tuesday of next week at 7 o'clock in Town Hall, townofcarborough.org. For more information there, Mayor Lydia Lavelle, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.